This is November 15th, 2004, and we are at the Arizona Accordion Club interviewing Mario Taka and Mary Mancini. Mario, first question to you this evening. You have such a dynamic and interesting biography. How did an accordion become part of your life? In 30 seconds or less.
Yes. My accordion start was almost an accident.
Okay.
While I was about 12 years old, living in France, and a family friend used to bring his little accordion and play for us every Sunday. So I used to sit there and listen to him. And one time he left it for us to play, but not for me to play. My brother used to play. And my brother would not let me play it. Until he came to the United States, he left the accordion behind.
And that's the first time you saw an accordion?
That's the first time I saw the accordion.
Was it a chromatic or a piano?
No, it was actually a piano accordion.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is that what you learned on, was a piano?
I started with the piano accordion for about 9 months. My teacher was playing chromatic at the time, and I saw everybody play chromatic accordion in France. So I decided to, I said to my dad, I want to switch to the chromatic. And that's when I made the switch.
Okay, now we've found out how you met the accordion. Mary, we want to find out how you met Mario. When did he come into your life?
Well, Mario came into my life at a time that, we were both heavily involved in music, and we knew each other from music circles. And sometimes he would be performing in the same area as I would be singing or in one of the same concerts.
And this was where?
This was in about 40 miles north of New York City, in Peekskill, where I was born and raised. And eventually we got together.
And you're still together as a result, yes, obviously, of last evening's performance. Mario, you've won accordion competitions all over the world, Carnegie Hall, France, Italy. What is the most memorable award in your trophy case?
Well, I have to say when we had the international competition, and the final of that competition was a two-day event in New York City. That resulted in the judges choosing the top three performers, and I was one of the three performers. And we had to play the last time for the first place in Carnegie Hall itself. That was the final was held right at
in Carnegie Hall.
At Carnegie Hall.
This was back in the 60s?
60s, yes.
Okay.
And I won first prize. A couple of other very talented fellows. Steve Domenico, a very talented player from Connecticut, won second place. And William Cosby ended up with third place. So he eventually ended up at West Point as a director of the Glee Club, West Point. So that was, I would say, the highlight at the time.
All right, you're a composer, you're an arranger, you conduct,
yes,
you perform. Now, which brings out the most enjoyment other than accompanying Mary?
That's a difficult question.
That's why I asked it.
I have to say that performing, because I enjoy composing. I enjoy arranging because it gives me a chance to come up with some interesting sounds.
But you said performing. Why?
I say performing because it gives me a chance to hear everything that I hear in my head. Because when I arrange, I hear it in my head, but it's not out. So when I perform, it gives me a chance to perform it, to hear it, Loud and clear, and to put expression to that.
All right, we're going to put you on the spot, Mary. We've just talked about performing, and I didn't know that Mario was going to answer that question that way. What do you consider your most unusual performance you've ever enjoyed with your husband in terms of your music career?
My most unusual. That's a very difficult question. We perform in so many different venues, so many different styles of
and music. So many countries and so many languages. But what is the most unusual performance?
I think I would have to say in China, probably.
And you've been there twice.
I've been there twice, and this past January, performing with three different symphonies in three different cities in China with three different conductors. The first symphony that we performed with, we were both of us shocked when we found out that the conductor was a guest conductor from Beijing, from the university in his last year. And he was 24 years old. And the two of us were quite apprehensive, thinking, oh my goodness, what is this going to be like, you know? And in the meeting with the director of the orchestra the day before, he was pacing back and forth, and we were thinking, oh my goodness, I think we need to pray a lot. But at the next morning, in the rehearsal room, which I might add was about four floors up, and we walked all of these. We did a lot of walking in China, but you don't get on the elevator and just go up. You walk up, and Mario carried his instrument. But in any case, to answer your question directly, he picked up his baton, and the two of us were, I think I became emotional, you know, after two or three pieces, because this young conductor was full of fire and passion, and to look at 80 people in this symphony orchestra and realize that we don't speak the same language, but we do speak the same language with the universal language of music. So I have to say that was probably, and that wasn't my first experience with a symphony in China. I had had that experience 5 years before, but this was certainly unusual.
And one you'll never forget.
And this young conductor, Cheng Hao, will one day make a mark. I believe he will become famous, because he certainly is unusual, and that gave us the most unusual experience.
I can imagine it must have been just to be there.
It was emotional. It was totally emotional. We embraced one another, three of us, together before the concerts, after the concerts, and it was such a revelation, you know, to see such a talent, you know.
Your voice has such marvelous resonance. I have to ask you a question. Does Mario ever sing with you?
Occasionally, he tries to hum something.
All right, that's enough.
And I tell him, don't sing. I don't play the accordion.
I can answer that.
There you go.
All right, my friend, tell me about the hat. Where, when, how many do you own?
Well, I guess people tell me I'm a man of many hats. I mean, I do wear many hats. Literally, I'm not sure how many hats.
When did it start?
When did that start?
Oh.
15 years?
Oh, what? No. 20, it's got to be 20 years. It's been his...
I'm not quite sure how exactly it started. The first time I decided to wear a hat was like, I guess I tried a hat and I was performing somewhere and I said, gee, I like the way that looks. And ever since it became like a trademark.
That's your moniker.
Just people expect to see that, and people expect to see a different band, different shirt. And the only thing that's usually the same is my accordion. I do play the Cavagnolo, and I also play the bell, Bulgari, actually, it's a Bulgari instrument, tally made, with the both of them are MIDI. But the hats became just kind of part of the performance, and people expect that these days.
And we're certainly glad you wore one the other night. That was fantastic. Mary, tell us about your song, With Open Arms, being selected by the Red Cross to accompany the tribute to the September 11th victims. How did that come about?
First, as every single person who is an American, or even people that are citizens of this country, or anyone that was here when we were struck that day, I think was filled with emotion, as I was.
And you were in New York at the time?
No, we were, we were actually just leaving to do a performance in the Bronx that day. And we were just getting ready to leave the house when my daughter called me and told me what was happening. So quickly we ran up to the television and we saw what was happening. But anyway, we were on our way to the Bronx and to do a daytime performance for about 750 people. And it was about, 8:45 in the morning, because we had to be completely set up and ready by noon. And so we left the house and had the radio on in the car. Our son works, and at that time also was working on Wall Street. So we were devastated, couldn't reach him for a very long time. But thank God that day he had decided to go to the Long Island office. He works for Citigroup. So he had gone to the Long Island office. And I, as I said, as many other people were, emotionally traumatized by what was happening. So for the next few weeks, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would hear in my heart and in my head the words, "With open arms, I will heal you. I will give you courage." And I got up one morning and I said to Mario, "This is a message, you know." So I sat down at the computer, and in 10 minutes I had written the verses, the chorus. I had no melody, and I said to Mario, "Well, you know, maybe we could sit down together and do the music." But the next day at 6 o'clock in the morning, I got up, and all the music was in my head. So we have to go to the piano, because it's all there now. Mario wrote all the music down, and the song was written. The incredible part of it is that I've written several songs before. I've gotten awards from the American Song Festival for some gospel music that I've written in the past. On my Italian CD, I wrote to the music of Pietro Mascagni. I wrote a special lullaby prayer for my grandson, who was my first born grandson. So I've always changed things, always worked at things over and over. But I tell people the same thing I will tell you, and that it was a message from God. It was a clear message from God that that we would be healed if we trust in Him. And I never changed a phrase, a word. I couldn't. There was nothing to change. It was perfect. And I was the vessel. People ask me that question, and I feel strongly that God inspired me so deeply and gave me the words and the music to this song. And at some point, you know, my intentions are that I want to get it to the firehouses in New York, the police, the people who were directly involved with 9/11, but the process takes so long. You know, it's a long, hard process.
Certainly.
But that's how With Open Arms came about.
Yeah. Other than Open Arms, if you could only sing one song the rest of your life, what would it be?
Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Oh, wonderful choice. And Mario, last question. If you could only play one song the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh. Wow. Out of thousands and thousands, I would have to pick something from Johann Sebastian Bach. I would have to pick one of his pieces. You know, and he's written so much religious music dedicated to the glory of God that any one of those any one of his pieces are perfect. They're perfectly written. And I'm not sure I can choose one particular song.
But you've selected a composer, and that's
but the composer, you know, one of my favorites of Bach is the Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, which is not just one of many perfect pieces. Again, blending the voice and the background accompaniment, you cannot tell which is the melody because both of them are perfect individually and they work perfectly together. And that's typical of Johann Sebastian Bach.
Wonderful. It's been such a pleasure to meet both of you and hear you perform at the Accordion Club. We look forward to having you again. And that will be January of 2006.
Well, thank you.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a
you
real
back.
Pleasure.
It's all pleasure.
To come and to meet everyone and to, you know, it's. I think it's like asking somebody, what's your favorite food? You know, each piece of music that you perform or play or sing or what it is that you do creates a different emotional response within yourself as it does with your audiences. And I think it's like wearing a different, changing your hats every song you choose or you perform. It's like taking off one hat and putting on another. So.
Well, I think that's the key of that's the key to music, I believe,
yes.
Every time you play a different piece of music, you have to put it in the proper style, the proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, then you can relate that piece of music to the audience.
Yes. If you give it from your heart, the audience receives it into their heart. And there is no greater joy than for someone to come up to you. And in China, people came backstage just welled up in tears and in their language telling us through our interpreters, you touched my soul. And I think that's what we're destined to do, both Mario and myself. We're destined to bring joy to people through music.